Good morning, folks. I want to have your attention just for a moment. My name is Ryan, a local pastor from here in Bellflower. And I'm going to speak to you, and what I'm going to say may offend some of you, but I'd like you to bear in mind that recently more than 1,500 American soldiers have given their lives in Iraq so that you and I could have the liberty of freedom of speech. Now, some of you are here today because you've allegedly violated man's law. The Bible alleges that both you and I have violated God's law. That is the Ten Commandments. So what I'm going to do is put you on the stand just for a few moments and examine you under the light of that law, and you can make the determination of your innocence or your guilt and what your eternal destiny will be, whether it be a place called heaven or a place called hell. So this is a very important issue, and I'd be grateful for your attention. Let's begin with the ninth commandment. You shall not bear false witness. Have you ever told a lie? Are you innocent or guilty of breaking that commandment? Or the eighth, you shall not steal. Have you ever stolen something, irrespective of its value? Or the third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Have you ever used God's name as a cuss word to express disgust, something called blasphemy? Or the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. But guys, listen to what Jesus said of that commandment. He said, "But I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart." You ever done that? You say, "Man, have I ever done that? That's all I ever do. I'm guilty of that one." In fact, you say, "You know, I'm guilty of breaking those four commandments." Well, if that's true, on the day of judgment, God will see you as a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. Very serious crimes in his sight. And the Bible makes it very clear your eternal destiny will not be heaven, but a place called hell. The scriptures warn all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no adulterer, no fornicator, those who have had sex out of marriage, will inherit the kingdom of God. You say, "Man, you don't need to worry about me. I'll be fine. I won't end up in hell because I confess my sins to God. I tell him I'm sorry." Folks, that won't help you on the day of judgment. That's like saying the judge today, "Hey, judge, I confess I committed the crime. Sorry." He'd probably say, "So you're confessing your guilt. You should be sorry. You've done wrong." No, you need someone who can pay your fine. And folks, that's what God did for you and I 2,000 years ago. The Bible says he sent forth a son made of a woman, born of a virgin. Do you know what that means? That means that Jesus of Nazareth was different than you and I. He was morally perfect. He was without sin. And this perfect man gave his perfect life as a perfect sacrifice for the sin of the world. Now you know that because you live in America. You know that Christ died for your sins. We just celebrated Christmas a couple of months ago, the birth of the Savior. We're celebrating Easter coming up soon, the death and resurrection of the Son of God. We know that Christ died for our sins, but what does it mean to you as an individual? What are the implications? Well, let me put it this way. Do you realize that you're on death row, that you're waiting to die, that you're in a holding cell, normally has a nice blue roof, good lighting, good air conditioning, but this life is a holding cell. 10 out of 10 die. And the reason you and I will die is because we've violated God's law. God said, "The soul that sins, it shall die. The wages of sin is death." And the proof that you've sinned against God will be your death. But the same God, who the Bible says is the judge of the universe, is rich in mercy. And he sent his son to suffer and die on the cross on our behalf, to take the punishment for our sins, to pay the fine in his life's blood. That means God can commute your death sentence. He can nullify the death sentence. He can allow you to live because of what Jesus did on the cross. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God can now dismiss your case. He can forgive your sins. He can allow you to live. So what must you do? Well, the Bible says there's two things you must do. One is you must repent. Turn from your sins. Don't just confess your sins to God. Confess and forsake them. And don't just believe in Jesus. Trust in him. Like you trust a parachute to save you. You don't believe in a parachute. You put your faith into it. You put your trust into it. And that's what you must do to the Savior, or with the Savior. And folks, please do it today. Don't wait until tomorrow. You don't know if you'll be here tomorrow. The only thing you can guarantee for sure is the air going into your lungs at this present moment. You can't guarantee another breath. That comes by the grace and mercy and patience of God. Every day 150,000 people die. They're swallowed by death. People like you and me, people with the same desires, same concerns, same plans for the future, will be snatched into eternity today. And today could be your turn. Your number could be up. Mine could be up. So please consider seriously your eternal salvation.